Hey, church, Pastor Jason here. If you're watching this video, that means that we are not gathering together at the building, that we are gathering via technology this morning, and that the snow has come, trying to decide what to do. Are we going to have church? Are we not going to have church? What's that going to look like? And looks like the weather could be a little crazy. And so it has turned out to be that. And wanted to prepare a devotion, a little time that we could gather around the Word of God this morning. The snow is always an exciting thing, especially among children and maybe some of you adults as well. And so if you're connected here online, maybe you'd want to make a little comment and just say, not a fan, or, love the snow. Maybe you put a picture of some of the areas around your house, maybe the landscape that's there. And, I think about the snow, and we're always excited about maybe getting to go out and do some sledding together. My kids are already talking about that, and I have just great memories of us sledding together on our driveway, and moments that we've just had just great times. There's a picture that we have in our living room that is just a beautiful kind of snow landscape behind us that we took a little family picture, just kind of using a phone and setting it up. I think we actually set it up on a car and got, got everything set just right, a little timer, and made that work. And it's just been a really neat memory for us along the way. And, we think about the snow, and really, if you've looked out and just thought about the beauty of it, really, I think about, when it snows, and it's been so long since we've had a good snow, right? But when we look outside that morning, snow always is in this kind of season of time where most of the time there's been a little time where we've had no leaves on the trees, where we've maybe had some almost barren kind of look around maybe our houses. It's a place where the area around my home can begin to look a little rougher this time of year, and the kind of mud and the just different things, if it's been wet or just whatever kind of things you might have. But all of a sudden you wake up on that morning and you look out the window and everything's just beautiful, just white, snowing, just pure. It kind of gives you that clean kind of feeling, and so we love that, right? We enjoy that kind of moment. And I was thinking about just a little devotion for this good snow day, and there's a verse in Isaiah chapter 1 where we're really familiar with this verse, and it's a time where Judah, it's a time where the people of God have really rebelled against God for so long, and their sin has just become great, and they're not walking in the ways of the Lord, and they're still kind of going through some motions of worship. It's really a chapter that really is about worship and really repentance kind of connected in that. And there's this sense that they're doing these rituals, they're making sacrifices, they're even gathering maybe in a solemn assembly or some of these things, but because their heart is not right with the Lord, and their desire is not truly there, right? That their worship is something he's like, I don't desire that. And so let's read just a few verses. I want to look at these, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you here on the journey. So my phone rang there. I didn't want that to come in on the midst. So here we are, Isaiah chapter number 1, verse 18. And the scripture says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord." All right? So there's this invitation, there's this command really in that. And he says, then, though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. And so the first part of this chapter really has shown some of their rebellion, how they've abandoned the Lord. Even there's a place in the verse 2 that I love where he calls heaven and earth, right, to listen. It's like the Lord speaks, and look at how these people who, it says, sons I've reared and brought up, like God is creator. He has given them life and sustained them. And he says, they have revolted against me. He says, he like calls heaven and earth to listen. Really just a powerful moment. And we really just see that in God's grace in verse 9, there's still just this remnant that's kind of hanging on a little bit, but he's had enough. And in verse 10, he really gives this like powerful moment where he says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, and give ear to the instruction of God, you people of Gomorrah. And so he uses this strong language that would have immediately just gotten their attention in just an incredible way. And he goes on and he talks about how they're, you know, don't bring these worthless offerings any longer in verse 12. Actually, that's verse 13. Incense is an abomination to me. He goes on, he says, I cannot endure iniquity in the solemn assembly. And so he's just weary of them. He says, the new moon, the festivals, the feasts, the things that are gone. So they become a burden to me, and I'm weary of bearing them because they're not in this thing, right? They're going through these rituals. He says, when you spread your hands out in prayer, I'll hide my eyes from you. Their iniquity has separated them from God, right? And he says, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. And then verse 16, he says, wash yourselves and make yourself clean. And there's this sense of repentance here. And he goes on in verse 16, he says, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. And I love the way, and I think this is a very good translation. Some translations say just remove your evil deeds from my sight. But really what he says is remove the evil of your deeds. And repentance, there's fruit of that repentance, right? And this evil of their deeds, like repentance, not only seeks forgiveness and there's a change of mind, a change of direction. There's this recognition of that. But there's also this desire to make things right. There's also this desire to those that have been damaged, those that have been hurt. If we truly repent, right, there's this repentance and there's this desire to walk in obedience to Christ. And so he goes on, he says, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. So he's calling them to a different way, to the fruits of this repentance. Like if you're turning, stop the evil of your deeds, get this in a better place, remove the evil of your deeds and begin to walk in this. And so there's this call for repentance. And then he says in verse 18, the verse that we read, he said, come now. So there's this response of this invitation that he's given. And what I want to give you just a couple of just really quick points that we see in this text that I think also applies to us. I hope it'll be an encouragement to you on this snow day. I hope maybe there's someone out there that's listening and you've been wrestling with maybe your relationship with the Lord or kind of where you are in connection with the Lord, or do you have a relationship with the Lord? This invitation really in this text is for you. And so we're so glad that you're here. And the first thing we see in this passage, right, is that God confronts our condition. He confronts them and their sinfulness. And he does that for us. We're reminded in Romans 3 that there's none of us that are righteous, not even one, that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Our sin separates us from God. The Bible says in Romans 6, right, the wages of sin is death. And in God's grace, right, the good news of the gospel, we think about the Christmas time. We talk about going and telling on the mountain, right? The good news comes with some really kind of on the heel of some bad news, that our sin has separated us from God. And that apart from his grace, we're in mercy and his goodness, right, that we're separated from a holy God, right? The wages of sin is death. But then we continue to be reminded and read that the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so there's this confronting us really in our condition. And God doesn't just, leave us just kind of to go our own way. And in the midst of all this, he convicts us and confronts us in the midst of our sin. And we understand that our sin really points us to our Savior. Jesus came into the world, Paul said, to save sinners, among whom I am chief. When we think about the Christmas story, unto you, right, the message that came to those shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, right? We need a Savior because we are sinners in need of that. And then God has provided the gift of salvation through faith in the finished work and faith in Jesus Christ and in the finished work that he has done on the cross. And so God confronts us in our condition, right? And the response that the people of God should have had in those moments, right, was to realize their condition and then to repent of that, right? To acknowledge the place that they were in and allow God's grace to meet them. This is God's grace to them that they can repent. Like they're in a poor condition, and he invites them to turn from that. He invites them to come and receive forgiveness. And so we see that, right? God not only meets them and kind of reveals their condition, but he offers them cleansing, right? He offers them forgiveness. He offers them grace. He says in this text, right, that they will be white as snow, though your sins may be as scarlet, that they will be as white as snow. And when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, right, our sin is forgiven. But the Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin, that all of our sin was placed on Jesus on the cross, right? 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf in our place so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so even though we have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, when we place our faith and trust in Jesus, only his blood can cleanse us. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so we recognize, hey, what Jesus did on that cross, it was in my place. And so God confronts us in our condition. And maybe that's you this morning. You like recognize you've been going your own way. You've been living in just a sinful condition. And you say, you know what? I don't want to keep going down that road. I realize that God is calling me out of that today. He says, listen, come, turn from that. Let us reason together. So he engages them. He meets them, reveals their condition, and he offers them, right, this cleansing through their repentance and faith. And when we see this cleansing offered to us in Christ, and what's beautiful about this relationship that we're invited into, it is a relationship. These Israelites, they're trying to continue to do these rituals to somehow earn or go through these motions that somehow that might earn them forgiveness or make them right with God. But what we understand is that God is desiring a heart and a relationship, right? And he desires that they would have a posture of worship to him in his greatness. And in light of all that he's done, he says, listen, I've reared these kids. He says, heaven and earth, I call you to witness in the midst of this. He said, these have turned their back against me. Can you believe that they have done that? But he invites them. He says, come now, let us reason together. Let us work this out. Let me restore in you. And I'm reminded in this that not only do we receive the blessing and gift, really, of being confronted in our sin and our condition and understanding that, offered the cleansing that can only come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. But then we are offered and brought into this connection, right? He invites us in. And we've been talking a bit about these just rhythms of grace in our lives, and that we're called into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in Mark's Gospels, we've read, like, we see Jesus breaking away and getting alone with the Father. We understand that everything in our lives, God is doing through us, is a result of what he's doing in us. And so there's this intimacy with the Father. And so you know, Jesus would rise up, and before daylight, he would go off, and he would go to a secluded place, just alone with God. Maybe that's something you can do today, like the snow day, the things that are there. Maybe you can just find some time to be still. Psalm 46, right? Be still and know that I am God. You know, sometimes the busyness, the distractions, it's hard for us to just to lean in to those moments, right? But he's created us and allowed us to have this relationship restored. And so we want to just lean in and you know, draw near to God. The scripture says, James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And so when we think about this gift of connection, this gift of relationship that he has given us, we talk about abiding in Christ, John 15. We talk about this relational time. We want to spend time with the Father. So I want to encourage you, if you're not starting your day with Jesus, if you'll take just a few minutes in the morning, listen, rise up just a little bit early and declare your dependence on God. Say, I don't want to start this day without you. You can open the Word of God. There's a Bible reading plan that is available. You can link that on the very homepage of the app if you have the Cowie app. And you can pull it up there, cowie.church/disciple on the website. You can jump into that reading plan. We're reading through the New Testament every day. There's a chapter that you can read Monday through Friday, a couple of gap days on the weekend to catch up. And we just encourage you, open the Word of God and then just spend some time with him to start your day as you pray, just seeking that God would use you for his kingdom and to glorify Christ through the day and just this heart of worship that we would live our lives out of an overflow of. And so what a blessing that God has confronted us in our condition, and that he, through the cross of Christ, has provided for our cleansing, that we can believe and trust in Jesus and be forgiven of our sins and restored in relationship with God. And this journey begins, right? This is not our placing our faith in Christ is not the finish line, but the beginning of a relationship with God where we have great purpose and can be used by Him to go and share the good news of the gospel and all that God has done in our lives. And so I want to encourage you, spend time with God in His word and prayer. Maybe today you can just find enough time to say, hey, I'm going to just disconnect for a few minutes and just try to spend just this time with the Lord. And we worship Him. You know, the worship that was being offered by God's people in this passage and in this time, right? It wasn't from the heart, and it was just going through the motions. And I encourage you, maybe just to step back and out of a response to His grace, just this reminder of all that God has done for us, that we would worship Him just in spirit and in truth. And really the call today maybe is just to respond to God's grace. Maybe for the first time, where you would say, I recognize that my sin has separated me from God. Right? It's a gift of God's grace that we're confronted with that, and in the power of His Holy Spirit, that we are convicted of that sin, that we recognize that we are sinners and that we're separated from God. And so we see that just incredible truth in the gift of just what Christ has done on the cross, right? In our place, like our sin deserved death, but He has taken that sin upon Himself. And so we recognize that we're sinners. We recognize that we're separated from God. And we respond really in just repentance and faith. Just surrender is the word I like to use. But we turn. There's this posture of repentance. Just simply means a turn from a change of mind that results in a change of direction. But it's simply turning from our sin, turning from going our way and turning and trusting in Jesus. And so maybe that's you today. And for the first time, you say, you know, I believe that what Jesus did on that cross was for me. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that means He's in charge. He is ruler. He is King. If we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, right? Jesus entered into the midst of brokenness. He lived a sinless life. He never messed up. He died a sinner's death on the cross, the death that we deserved. And the Bible says that after He died this death, that they placed Him in a barred tomb, and on the third day He rose from the grave. And so the scripture says, listen, that's what we're believing in. We're not trusting anything that we've done, but what Jesus has already done. We confess, right, that we're sinners. We understand that. He says, if we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, He's in charge, He's my King, and believe in our heart, right, the sense of really all of our lives trusting Him. We confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, that what Jesus did on that cross, it is finished, right? That the work is done. And I'm trusting in that for the forgiveness of my sin, for salvation, and I give my life to You. The Bible says whoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And maybe this morning, maybe this evening, if you're watching this later, maybe days from now, maybe you're hearing this message and you say, you know what, I believe what Jesus did on that cross, it was for me. And I've tried my own way. I'm in a wreck. My life's a wreck. I understand, man, just where I'm at. God has confronted me in my condition this morning. And I hear that through the shed blood of Christ, He has provided my cleansing. And through that cleansing, I enter into a relationship with God. And you say, you know what, I want to call on His name this morning. I invite you to do that. And it's really this posture of your heart, just surrendering repentance, surrendering your life to Christ, confessing that you're a sinner, seeking and asking God to forgive you of those sins, and just believing and trusting in Jesus that what He did is enough. And so if that's you, we invite you this morning to call on His name. And if you do, if you have questions, you can reach out to us here. You can send us an email. Excuse me, you can comment here in the stream. We'd love to connect with you about next steps in following. About next steps in following Christ. And so please do connect with us. We're excited. We have a baptism coming up here in just a couple of weeks, the last Sunday of January. So we encourage you, if that's your next step of obedience in following Christ, we invite you just to let us know about that. And we'd love to walk with you in just this beautiful next step. Next Sunday, this coming Sunday, We're excited to gather back together. I want to let you know about just a couple of things. So hang in here with me. Important things about Sunday coming up. We will be having a deacon ordination as part of our services. So 8:45 and 11:15 services will be as normal. They'll be just our regular services that we always have. The middle service there, that service at 9:45, as part of that service, we're going to be ordaining Tony Shuler. We're going to be ordaining Stephen Crabtree and Jacob Bingham as deacons. And so the service is going to have worship. It's going to have a message. It's going to have some of those kind of common things that we do. But as part of that service, it's going to really focus in on just this call and how God uses these servant, really these leading servants in our church. We like to say that the pastors that, you know, our staff, really, as we kind of think about some of those places, that we are servant leaders and that these deacons are leading servants that are meeting needs within the body. And so we're going to really just kind of look at how that works. So maybe you've wondered about how that works. It's going to be a great service. It's going to be a time we can just celebrate with them. And so you could attend more than one service next week. So you could come at 8:45 and stay for that special ordination service. You could start at 9:45 and go ahead and attend the 11:15, or you could pick any of those along the way and just be part of what you're able to that Sunday morning. Our Sunday school classes, we'll be meeting at the discretion of the Sunday school teachers that week. And so you can connect with them and they'll have maybe announcements there on whether or not they'll be meeting or whether they'll be taking part in that ordination service. But we're expecting of what the Lord is doing, looking forward to this Wednesday night, and hopefully the weather and the roads and all those things will be back in a great spot, and we can gather together again for a meal and for our classes. And also, this will be our third Wednesday youth night, so it'll be a community worship night for our students down in the Crossover worship area. So we're excited about all those things. And if there's any way we can serve you, any way that we can come alongside you, please let us know. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Maybe you're connected here with us this morning because maybe your church services were canceled or maybe those kind of things. We appreciate you connecting in so much. We'll post down in the comment section here on Facebook just a link that you could let us know of any next steps or just connect in any way. If we can serve your family, if we can pray for you, let us know. God bless you. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to allow you to go back and enjoy just that snow day today. So let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful, God, that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you've given us access, God, to the very throne of heaven, that we could come before you today in our prayers. God, would not be stopped because of our iniquity, but God, because when you look at us, God, if we've placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God, it's not our righteousness, it's his. And Lord, we come and we're just so grateful for that. Lord, we thank you that Jesus died a sinner's death in our place and has given us the ability to have a relationship with you. And Lord, we pray for those that are online with us this morning. And we ask you, Father, if there's any that have never trusted you, God, we pray that today would be the day of salvation, that they would turn from their sin and trust in you. God, and really just this posture of repentance, Lord. And we pray, God, for those that are just going through difficult seasons in their life, Lord. It's just, we know there's so many things that can be just coming at us and in our lives, where we pray that this just reminder this morning of what you've done for us in Christ, Lord, could bring joy. God, that we would look and we would see the snow and it would remind us that though our sin was as scarlet, God, though our sins were many, Lord, your grace has been so abundant in our life, and we can experience forgiveness in Christ. And Lord, we rejoice in that. And so, Lord, help us as we go. Lord, keep us safe. And Lord, we pray that you would just work in our midst this week, Lord, as we go out and just engage in our community, Lord, as we go to school or work or just the people that are around us. Lord, help us to be those that would shine and reflect the light of Christ to all those who are around. Again, God, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, for the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And we ask for your blessing and your presence to be mighty and strong with your people. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.